of me. You were wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. You were worthy of all adoration, but you took my shame and gave. And you didn't turn.
Good afternoon, everybody. I don't know what this is, but something weird. But anyway, I got to get this account switched over so I don't have to worry about all that goofy advertising garbage that goes on there. Let's see. Hope you all had a good weekend here this last weekend and kept busy. I was busy. We went street preaching on Saturday night in downtown Minneapolis, where it was kind of quiet down there. And, you know, but we went down there nevertheless and preached in the middle of all the things that are going on right now with this stay-at-home order. We didn't stay at home. I don't intend to stay at home. I don't intend to live my life sitting at home for the rest of my life while some Governor Smarty Pants decides that he's going to let everybody go out of their cages every once in a while. We were down there preaching, handing out tracts. There wasn't very many people with masks on or anything like that. People were just really just doing what they were supposed to do. And we preached to the drunks and the folks that were down there and all those that were running around down there in public transportation. There's buses that are running through the city. Plenty of homeless people that were running around that needed the gospel. Plenty of them that needed to hear the truth. So we got to talk to many of them and try to share the gospel with them, preach very hard to them to try to, you know, that they would hear the truth and believe. So you just keep praying for those efforts. And we did get quite a few tracks out. It rained on us. We got soaked out there. So definitely some crazy times here. Minnesota is still under that stay-at-home order with all the goofy things that goes along with that. And we're still dealing with that. So, but hopefully, it's supposed to be, we'll see, it's supposed to be up May 18th. But we'll see what happens with that. And there's a lot of churches that are starting to rebel against the orders of their governors across the country. There are churches that are all over. I saw some of the churches that were fighting the stay-at-home order and said they were going to open. See, I don't know if I put that on my Facebook page, if I shared that or not. But I'll look at it and see if I did. Let's see here. I might not have. I haven't put much on here. Let's see. I'm so sick of hearing about the governor's coronavirus task force videos. I'm tired of hearing about that. Here is a church. I know these folks. Northwest Bible Baptist Church in Elgin, Illinois, has basically said that they are going to defy the governor's order. And they said that they're going to hold services, but they're going to take all these temperature checks and they're going to take all these other things, which by the way, I disagree with doing. I disagree with churches acting like they're businesses and checking people's temperatures when they walk in the door and making them all wear masks, making people come to church wearing masks and all that other stuff. I absolutely disagree with that. I don't think the government has any right to tell you how you can have a church service or how the church service is supposed to be ran, and we're supposed to be politically correct and make everybody happy so all these people are happy about what we're doing. I absolutely think that's wrong. You know, I think it's absolutely wrong for pastors to capitulate, to give in to, you know, to the governor's orders of everything else. But it goes to being tied to a building and being tied. If you have $1 million worth of property and you have to capitulate and you have to kind of give in to that, and you gotta make a deal with the governor, or agree to their terms for your millions of dollars worth of property and your tax-exempt status on your millions of dollars worth of public property that you have to deal with, which makes it harder and more difficult to deal with. And that's what a lot of these pastors are running into. And it's the medical mafia is what it is. All this is, see, government will use what they can against you. They're using the medical mafia. They're using the groups of these things together to try to hinder the churches. Before, they would use building permits and other things like that to hinder churches. Now it's the medical mafia they're using to do that. They got their own medical mafia that, that is designed to come after the churches. That's what they're using. They'll use whatever they can. You know, and there's nothing they can do about a lot of them. I mean, if you have big mega churches and everything else like that, they're going to be stuck dealing with the government and trying to, they challenged the stay-at-home order before, I guess this church did. And they have all these rules that they're going to follow. Churches don't need permission from the government to meet. They don't need permission from the government to do anything. You know, they never have needed it in America, and they don't need it now. Now, before the First Amendment was out there, they needed permission while they had to deal with the government, and they had to deal with all those other things. After the Bill of Rights, after John Leland and men like that stood up and fought for the rights of to have a Bill of Rights that recognized the inalienable rights of the people to meet and assemble together and for churches to meet. After that was done, then what ended up happening was that, there was no longer that, there was no longer that, that problem there. But now what we see is we see a return of this and using this in a different way now, right? It's being used. These things are being used in a different way to squeeze people. Hello, Brother Paul. Hope you're doing well. But it's being used to squeeze people down. Church is down. That's how the beast system operates. It operates in such a way to try to control people. And right now they'll use the medical mafia to do it. Because whether you like it or not, the medical mafia was able to use their witchcraft and their sorcery and shut a whole nation down. That's what they did. And this is nowhere near what the Spanish flu was. Nowhere near it. Nowhere near what the Spanish flu was. But they were able to do the same things. They were able to accomplish much more. So you're seeing churches that are starting to fight. They're starting to stand up for what they believe. And to be able to practice their faith, so to speak, and not be hindered by it. But it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a war in that sense. And it's not going to go away super easy, I can tell you that. It just won't. But that's the way it works. That's the medical mafia. That's the way the government works. Right? You have all these people that just take for instance, I mean, think about it. Our media and everything is driven by this medical model of you have people saying out there, well, we can't get back to normal unless there's a vaccine. Well, vaccines aren't even proven to work. They're not even proven to work, and none of these coronavirus vaccines in the past that have been given, a lot of them have killed people. So you're not going to have that for 18, 19 months anyway. So what you have is the medical industry, which basically is ran by a bunch of witch doctors for the most part, pharmaceutical companies, and all those other things, driving. That's what happens when you have something that's so imbalanced. So absolutely imbalanced that you have a nation that was being led around by a bunch of doctors. That's what happened. And this is the results. Because they only factored in a health concern. They didn't factor in the entire thing. Why? Because it's like a medical mafia, that's why. And now all these things are coming to light. Now you're going to have all these people backtracking and acting like nothing's real. Check this out. Let's see here. Dr. Scott Jensen, he's a senator from Minnesota, who's been banging the drum on this for a long time and warning people and telling people about this. Thank you to Forbes for walking the reader through a timeline of how death certificates and death counts have become so muddled. My initial protest was the unprecedented intrusion and coaching by the CDC into the process of completing death certificates. My concerns grew as the CDC highlighted its interest in having COVID-19 presumptively included in the formal causation of death sequence. CDC's own documents identify that the underlying cause of death should be the disease or event that initiated the death process. Clearly, if a person is in a nursing home in the throes of end-stage dementia and renal failure with a life expectancy of days or maybe a week, dementia should be the underlying cause of death. If the patient does not have symptoms of respiratory illness, in this situation, I would find any incidental exposure to coronavirus illness as irrelevant. And the mere presence of a COVID PCR test would not change the underlying cause of death. A growing number of conservative, especially fringe sites like Alex Jones, are embracing a conspiracy that government-approved death tolls are inflated. Well, for various political reasons, as some reports suggest, President Trump will soon endorse the murky theory as well. So they talked about diamond and silk there. They said they wanted to see that. Brit Hume, a longtime senior Fox analyst, tweets a thread from an unverified Twitter account. Blah, blah, blah. Brit Hume, Tucker Carlson. Dr. Scott Jensen, Republican state senator in Minnesota, appears on a conservative North Dakota-based television show to criticize the State Department's health guidelines. So anyway, there's kind of a trail and a record. We definitely think there are deaths that have not been counted for, said one person. You know, all this stuff. So here's a timeline, right, of things that are going on. And what do they want to do? They want to poo-poo it and act like it's not real. So, more information for those who would like it indicates a confirmed lab test based on coronavirus. Some coding authorities have suggested using these terms. Lots of stuff here he's got. He's got a ton of screenshots here. We just received my mom's death certificate. It states that the underlying cause of death was presumed COVID-19. My mother was 91 years old in the final stages of her Alzheimer's disease and was never tested for COVID. I can't help but wonder how many other reported COVID-19 deaths have similar circumstances. Well, that's pretty important, isn't it? So, I mean, you have a medical mafia that, well, if you just have exposure to COVID, then that must have been what kills you. Right? Thanks to the New York Times for furthering the conversation regarding the CDC's role in blurring the differences between people who died with symptoms and physical signs of COVID-19 and a laboratory-confirmed test versus people who died without a PCR lab test, no symptoms of viral respiratory infection, and no specific physical exam findings indicated COVID-19 disease. The Times front page article introduces far-ranging topics such as climate change, oil companies and tobacco industry, and warns of lurking pro-Trump motivations. Interesting, because my discussion of death certificates has never been remote about our president. My issue has been about precedent-setting communications from CDC. Pushing the narrative. Here's what somebody asked him. Is the same standard applied to the flu on death certificates, i.e. presumption, or does there need to be a test to confirm the death was related to the flu? Senator Scott Johnson says, I do not diagnose influenza on a death certificate if I don't have a confirming influenza lab test. I would likely record viral respiratory illness or pneumonia if that has become superimposed. The underlying cause of death with an acute respiratory viral illness is oftentimes emphysema, depending upon the given patient. See, and they're going to poo-poo all this because they like keeping the – they want to keep the country shut down on lockdown. They want this whole thing locked down as long as they can lock it down. Why? Because they're a stinking mob is what they are. Look at this. Pennsylvania removes 200 from coronavirus death toll amid questions over reporting process. Coroners in the state, who are the ones investigating suspicious deaths, have voiced frustration toward the health department for reluctance to seek their help, and some have gone on record saying that the department's numbers don't correspond with what they are seeing. And the Star Tribune recently announced it will not use data from Johns Hopkins regarding COVID case counts because that institution utilizes data counts that are probable and not confirmed. So, you know, they want to use drones, they want to use all these other things, all in the name of like a medical mafia. Because that's what this is. They're using the medical industry to try to control people. They do it to try to control your children. They do it to try to push vaccines. They do it to try to do all those other things. That's what they do it for. And now they're using, or that's the means that they use to do it. And now they're using a virus. See, that's the difference in this and the Spanish flu. Now we have nefarious people that are involved with this that want to push this. And they never let a good crisis go to waste. Right? People don't like comparing it, you know, to the flu and all those other things. He talks about all that. So it's good. I mean, I like to see people thinking at least through things. And by the way, I haven't given you any conspiracies either. I want you to notice that everything that I'm saying to you is not conspiracy. It's the evidence that's right in front of us. It's right in front of us. So I'm not giving you anything else that's like crazy, you know, far out things. This is just like what's going on right now. This is just like things that are in the news that are verifiable right in front of your face. But it's been used to continue a lockdown. You know, I don't see how anybody can think this is about slowing any curve any longer. Because it isn't. It's just, it's about control. And by the way, the coronavirus numbers in Minnesota. The numbers in Minnesota, 90% of them, 90% of the people in Minnesota, they are in long-term care facilities. They are in the final stages of their life. And they have pre-existing conditions. This is not the same as the Spanish flu. The two scenarios are way different. And the reaction to it is not the same either. Because the reaction to it is... The reaction to it is not the same. The reaction to it is this desire to control people, right? And it's coming down to the time to where people are getting sick of it. You're starting to see people that are just tired of it. Very, very tired of it. And anyway, so we'll probably talk more about that. I'm sure there's so much to talk about with it. And it just continues to go even more. We have right now, we have, in 1 week, ours is supposed to be done. In 1 week, our lockdown situation is, our stay at home orders and all that, which, I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I'm not staying at home, so, you know, but whatever. Slow the spread. Stay at home for the rest of your life, right? Sadly, that's the mentality of Americans today. And the mentality, you know, is not to search anything out to see if it's true or real or not. But anyway, well, listen, I didn't say hi to everybody. Let me say hi to folks on here first and see who's on here. And then we'll get into some other things. If you've got any questions or anything you'd like to talk about with that, about all of this, you know, ask away. And we'll talk about some, or any other Bible questions. That's fine, too. If I can answer them for you, I will. Brother Carl Winter's on here. Hope you're doing well. Kayla Fulcher on here. Hope you're doing well and your family. Pilgrim Ladies on here. Mary Teresa. Hope you're doing well, Mary. Marcia Eaton. Mary Weeby. Andrea, hope you're doing well. You and the baby and your children, your husband. Joe McDonald. Jacob Terry. Let's see, Teresa, Daryl's wife. The barbecue people. Let's see. Doom TV. Igor. Betty. Rachel, my dad's on here. Jesus is Lord. Elijah Morgan, trucking through Arizona. My wife's on here. Janice Stowe. Brother Scott on here. All right. Jay Schindler, Thomas Havis, Brother Scott Fenton. That's right, Luba. Enjoying taking walks every day. Absolutely. Very important. Myrna, hope you're doing well. So anyway, good. Good to see everybody on here. If you have a question or anything like that, we can go and talk about some Bible topics also as well. Let me just look here. Think about it. How is there a bunch of doctors? Michael Barnes asks, is receiving the vaccine, i.e. ID 2020, the same as taking the mark? Nope, taking the mark is, you're first going to, let's go to that. Let's look at the mark, what it says here. It says here, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. There is first a worship that goes on. There is a worship of the Antichrist. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound of a sword by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. This is a worship that is first given. Once the worship is given first, then the mark is taken. He causeth. He doesn't force, he causeth. It's not a force issue. Let's see, Pastor, when Lot offered his daughters to the men of Sodom, he said they had not known man. It later says his sons-in-law mocked him. Do you think Lot was lying, or did he have more than two daughters? Well, the possibility is there that he could have had more than two daughters. Yep. Or it's possible that they weren't married yet, or they did not consummate the marriage as of yet. I've heard both of those theories. So we don't really know. But it looks like to me that they maybe not have consummated the marriage yet. So that's it. That's a likely possibility. Yep, that they were betrothed to the man. Yep. That's the likely possibility there. The Antichrist will be a person that is worshipped, just like Jesus Christ is a person that is worshipped. Okay. Doug O'Keefe, hey, Pastor Cooley, I'm disappointed the lack of churches willing to follow God's law rather than man's law I'm disappointed in the lack of churches willing to follow God's law rather than man's law by defiantly staying open Am I being too judgmental? Oh, well, you just got to be careful. I mean, I can't make that judgment call for everyone, Doug. You know, that's a judgment call that they have to make. You know, I can't make that call for them, but I will say that they need to remember who their Lord is. Some worship their own flesh to live and stay in a system not made for them. Well, the worship of the Antichrist will be a person. Just like Christ is a person. He is called, the Antichrist is called the man of sin, the son of perdition. Jesus Christ is called the God-man Christ. He is the God-man Christ Jesus, right? And Jesus Christ is called the Son of God. The Antichrist is called the Son of Perdition. He is the Antichrist is called the Man of Sin. Jesus is called the Son of Man. Okay? So there's a difference. Jose says, I can see it where if you don't take the vaccine, you can't work. Well, here's the difference. Here's what I want to tell you. The Waldensians went through the same thing back when the Pope was running had the Inquisition going on, yet he wasn't the Antichrist, and they did not take the mark of the beast. Okay? They called the Pope the Antichrist, but he was not the man of sin, the son of perdition. He was not the one that controlled or that took the final mark that ruled the world. He was not that man that's going to come and culminate the end times. There have been times that if you didn't do things that government wanted you to do, you couldn't eat, you couldn't work, you couldn't buy or sell or anything like that. That's all true. Yet they're not the Antichrist. So that's the difference, okay? That's the difference in the two. Could the mark be tied to the medical mafia? Sure, why not? I mean, but I think it's going to be a little different. I think it's going to be encouraged to take it so you'll be as gods. I don't know who Roy Horn is, and I don't know who Florine Schneider is. Little Richard was a little homo. That's what Little Richard was. You could call him Little Homo. That's what he was. And I believe he died and went to a devil's hell. I don't believe that man was ever changed. I don't believe he was ever any different. He was effeminate, and he was a homosexual. I believe he died a homosexual, and I believe he went to hell a homosexual. That's what I believe about him. The World Economy Forum will prove they are using the COVID for DNA and biogenetic changing. It's a new era. They've had it planned for a long time. Well, possibly. The Pope is making a huge push for the ecumenical One World Church. He is putting away a lot of the doctrine in the Catholic Church. Yep, they're forming a new church, a One World Order. Yep, like David Bowie and Michael Jackson, all sodomites, the spirit of Sodom. That vine of Sodom, that spirit of Sodom is all over them. Yep. You know, that mark being tied to the... Remember, there is something that we have to remember here. Genesis 3... And the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So what we have here, what we have here is the promise of Satan attached to living forever. That's the attachment to it. Okay? So then when you go to the desire to live forever, then you go to Revelation 13. And you have this attachment of the beast system. You have it controlling mind, body, and soul. So you have mind, body, and soul being consumed by the dragon. And that's the culmination of the mark of the beast. It's also going to bring in government, religion, and the merchants of the earth. Because we see all of that Revelation chapter 18. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues." Right? Then go down to verse 11. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and of fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thine wood and all manners of vessels of ivory. Right? These are all the merchants of the earth. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off in the fear of her, for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. So there's a culmination. Pastor, what do you think of the mark of as something spiritual or invisible, something God sees or doesn't see, that man doesn't necessarily see? No, I think you'll know who the ones are that have the mark of the beast. I think it'll be very clear who has it. I think it'll be very clear who has it. I don't think we'll be deceived by that at all. I think you'll be able to see it. Okay, let's see. Second Corinthians 2:15. For we are unto God. A sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other savor of life unto life. I I'm not sure I see any description or anything different there. Do you think the mark will be a merging of medical mafia and AI? Yes, I do. I think transhumanism and the defilement of the temple changing what God created his image into something it was never meant to. Yes, I do believe that. Mike asks, do you think the revival of the Made in America movement is connected to the merchandise of Babylon? It could be. I've never really thought about that, but that's actually interesting. Florine Schneider is a member of the German electronic group Kraftwerk, which made music about cars, radios, trains, robots, and computers. Yeah, I don't know who that is. Pastor, have you heard the news that Netanyahu would like to chip the children in Israel? I've never heard that. But I'm not saying it's not true. Because the governments of this world are antichrist. It's very interesting. I've never heard that. Yeah, I saw it on congress.gov, the bill that is there. Now, just because there's a proposed bill up there doesn't mean it'll pass. That's what you have to understand. There are a lot of bills that are proposed. There are some crazy, whacked out bills that are proposed. And it's put on congress.gov because that's a bill that's up there. That doesn't mean the bill is going to be passed. And it doesn't mean that the bill is even going to see the light of day. It just means that there's some antichrist devil that's willing to stick it up there and put it there and be like, okay, this is what it is. Right? That's what that means. Okay. Oh, excuse me. It is their attempt of eternal life. It is their attempt at eternal life without Christ. Man will try anything but God. I mean, any he'll turn to anybody or anything but God. Turn to his own self, his own good works, his own righteousness. Everything except the Lord. But we know the day we got saved that Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world, and that if it's not for him, we'll die and go to hell. That we deserve hell. Amen. Some antichrist devil was willing to put the COVID bill up to pass in many countries. That happened. Well, it might have happened, but the bill is proposed. It isn't passed. That's my point. And there's nothing wrong with sounding the alarm and telling people that they're trying to pass a bill that's wicked as hell. I'm not against that. But we also have to acknowledge that the bill is not passed, that it has been proposed. So you've got to be honest about things and not just say, well, the bill's there. That means it's legitimate. No, it's not. I am watching. That's why I'm doing this broadcast. I think it's watching. I think that's what watching is warning people and telling them that that's there. Anyway, so that's those things are all legitimate concerns, especially when you start to deal with the spiritual aspects of things, and you have this government control over spiritual, then you have this government control over the church or the spiritual, then you have it over the human or the man or his body, and then you have it over the merchants of the earth all working together. So what does that constitute? Big corporate. So, anyway. That's right, Mike. They just propose a lot of bills just to make everybody think, oh, this is the way it's got to be. This is, like, the real thing here. And most of the time, it ends up not being... Excuse me. Most of the time, it ends up not being anything, but they're trying to push it. It's their way of pushing things. That's how they get their foot in the door. That's their game plan. That's how they operate. And that's why we do have to be vigilant. We have to be diligent. We have to get the truth out there to people. We have to warn people as much as we can. But we also can't overreact, and we have to be careful to not follow every conspiracy theory we hear either. Because a lot of times what happens is we end up looking foolish because we're jumping on the bandwagon of something that we have no proof of. Because that's what happens a lot of times. And then people look foolish because they've jumped on a bandwagon of something that isn't even accurate.
Oh,
Well, the Bible's, somebody asked a question, how do you scripturally answer people who reject Jesus by trying to connect Son of God with pagan sun worship? Well, the Bible says that the sun is a picture. It's used as a picture, right? The Bible's our authority. So the Bible says here in Malachi chapter 4, verse number 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. We openly worship the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ. Right? Okay, now let's stop here. Let's do this. By the way, I'll make no apologies. I'm geocentric. I believe that the sun rises. Amen? I believe the sun moves. So I'm not trying, I don't want anybody to be confused about that. I believe it because the Bible says it. I don't even understand a lot of scientific things about it, but I believe what God's word says. I absolutely believe what God's word says about that. Now, what do I do with this verse right here? I believe it, number one. Number two, I go over here. I go to my New Testament and I show you something here. Watch this. Watch this. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. Now listen, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. What does it say here? It says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. All of those things in creation are a picture of him, by him, and for him. And by him, all things consist. By Christ. What holds this world up together and what keeps everything? Christ. Christ does. Christ holds it all together. It's all about Jesus. He holds it all together. Christ holds it all together. It was made for by him and for him. And by him all things consist. What's that word consist mean? It means to stand together, to be fixed in a permanent state, or body composed of part, right? Let's see here. To stand together, to be in fixed or permanent state as a body composed of parts in union or connection. To be supported or maintained. By him, all things. Consists. Think about that. So Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. I'd ask you the question. To me, I throw it back to that same person, and what do I say to him? Why are all these pagans copying off Christ? Why do all these pagans copy off my Bible? Right? Why do they copy off the Word of God? Because that's really what's going on. That's really what's happening. It isn't the other way around. It's that Satan has a counterfeit for everything. So see, the Son is a picture of Jesus Christ. We don't worship the Son. We worship the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ. And the Son up there, the S-U-N, that Son is a picture of the Son of God. Amen. We worship Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness. And that Son is a picture. Why? Because all things were created by him and for him, and by him all things consist. It is all about Christ. That Bible you have is all about Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, it is about the Son of God. And Satan's goal is to steal away from it. And to get you to deny the scriptures and to deny the truth. Why? Because there's pagan false lies out there about it? Well, duh. There has been since the Garden of Eden. Since the fall of Lucifer. There's always been. There will be until Jesus puts it all down. There'll always be mimics and copyings and everything else. So yeah, that's going to happen. Sure it is. See, I could explain it. I explained it, the Son of Righteousness, Christ. Absolutely, he was creating counterfeits. Absolutely, Satan has always done. Counterfeits was in the garden. The first counterfeit ever was in the Garden of Eden. And the literal seed. Right? Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There is a seed. Say, do you believe that the seed of the woman? Yes, that's Christ Jesus, the Lord. That's the seed of the woman. Well, do you believe that Satan has a seed? Yes. He sure does. Is he going to appear to man? Yes, he sure is. He has a kingdom too. It's called the Kingdom of Darkness. And that's who that man of sin is, the son of perdition. He is the son of Satan. That's who he is. And he will come. And you believe that's going to be literal? Yes, I do. I sure do believe it's literal. He's going to be that Superman. I absolutely believe that's real. And his story is told everywhere. See, the story of the Antichrist, the story of the Antichrist is told everywhere.
Folks, do you know how close we are to the coming of Jesus Christ? The Bible tells us we don't know the very day or the hour, but we're not children of darkness, that day should overtake us as a thief.
With a sermon called Man of Steel, Man of Sin, okay? And the reason I'm going to preach this message to you is because, well, first of all, Brother Finney sent me a great article yesterday, which really got me going on this. I mean, I was already thinking about preaching Antichrist. That's exactly who he is. Anyway, so what they would like for pastors to do, now get this, let me read you the article. Okay, let's pray first. Father, we need you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd move in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the new Superman movie takes flight this weekend, filmmakers are hoping the Man of Steel lands not only in theaters, but also in pulpits. So I thought I would oblige them today and let it land in our pulpit, but not the way that they thought. I'm going to do it a little differently. The Bible says to reprove those things.
So anyway, this sermon talks about that, right? Man of Steel, Man of Sin. And what is this the story of? The Antichrist. This is a story of the Antichrist. That's what it's a story of. He's going to come from aliens. He's going to come from space. He's going to come from Satan. He's going to be born here or come here, and he's going to come on the scene. Right? That's a scene they did in that movie, or in that series, where they put him on a cross. See what I mean? Anyway, if you want to go back, you can listen to that. But it makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. That's what that is. That's that Antichrist spirit. Alive and well, right? And one day we'll culminate in that Man of Sin appearing on the scene. that will happen. Do you consider those rock stars that I mentioned are antichrist as well? Yes, I do. Yes, I do check my Facebook PM sometimes. I do, but I don't respond to them all right away. Sometimes I don't respond at all to them. So anyway, that's why it doesn't surprise me when people say, oh, this is copied after this. No, it's the other way around. But I go a step further and I say the CCM ones are just as bad as the CCM rock stars are worse than the openly, blatantly satanic ones. The CCM ones are way worse, I believe. Yep. I do believe they are way worse. What's a CCM rock star? Contemporary Christian music. No, I don't like Stryper. I think they're gayer than AIDS. Absolutely gayer than AIDS. Their music doesn't honor and glorify God. Most of them look like a bunch of gay hippies. That's what they look like. Yep. Let's see. Let's go over. I like these open forum ones sometimes. Sometimes I can just do a little bit more and show you things. Let's see here. Seems like you're listening today. I've got 75 people on here, so we'll keep going. Let me show you. I have an entire series on CCM. You don't get any more blunt than this one right here. The God of CCM is Antichrist.
First John chapter 2, verse number 18 says, little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time.
It is the last time. He says, in these end times, there will be a lot of Christ preached. Matthew chapter 24 talks about the same thing. Many false Christs shall go out. Many shall speak lies in Christ's name. Many shall preach a different Jesus, another gospel. This is CCM. It preaches another gospel. It preaches the, and I'm going to preach a sermon on this sometime soon called the Gospel of Antichrist. But that's another sermon. But there is a gospel of Antichrist. All right? And this basically CCM is the gospel of Antichrist in music. That's exactly what it is. It is a perverse foreign spirit. It is not, it in no way does it match up to the scriptures and what's found in the Bible. It is completely foreign. When you hear it, it ought to make sense to you when you hear what they're saying and the spirit of it, the music. It looks no different than a normal rock concert. It is no different than that. And the spirit of the people is no different. And I'm going to show you that today. It has an anti, what does the Antichrist desire? Worship to himself. He desires that worship to himself. It's nothing more than idolatry, really. It's what it is. But I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 3, please. I want to show you all kinds of music that was being used here and give you an example of this CCM Antichrist New Age spirit. And I added that spirit of homosexuality because it is prevalent in that movement. This is merging. This is bringing on that ecumenical mysticism. It is bringing it all together. It is bringing the one world emergent church together. This music is very powerful. It is absolutely powerful. People don't understand how powerful music is. Well, I'll show you. 18,000 people gathered last night to hear one man sing. You don't think that's powerful? You're crazy. Sell it to somebody who's not stuck on stupid pills, okay? It is very powerful.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I haven't heard myself preach one of those old sermons for a while. My young self, anyway. Oh, that was only 5 years ago, but man, that's funny, man, right there. That's funny right there. Oh, I don't know why that made me laugh so much. It just did. Oh. Okay.
Daniel chapter 3, verse number 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits and his breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Babylon. Doesn't America just ring with Babylon? It just rings with that. I mean, you just look around and all you see is Babylon. Bread and circuses, 18,000 people not caring for their souls yesterday at all, coming straight through that line, all the way, one motive and one heart to go what? To hear a man sing how much he hates God. How he'd rather what? What does it need? Laugh with the sinners? Than cry with the saints? Right? You'll get your chance. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So there's an image set up here. We know it's the end times worship. Picture the end times worship that'll take place. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together into the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music," all kinds of music. Not one kind of music, not music that honors and glorifies God, but just all kinds of music mingled in there. Everything acceptable today with the CCM crowd. There is nothing that's not acceptable today with the CCM crowd. By the way, that's why when you go preach outside of their events, they hate you. They're going to hate your guts. You go out to their CCM events out there. Where's that at, brother? Down in Wisconsin, out in Wisconsin. Actually, it's over by where Sarah's parents and her parents live over there. There's an event out there. I forget, the Sunshine Festival or something like that, where all these contemporary Christian artists are all out there. What is it? Picture of the world, same thing, no difference. Yep, Antichrist spirit, just like this. And all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. But notice this, all kinds of music. Acceptable, all kinds of music acceptable. We're living in that time now where you can't tell the difference between the holy and the profane anymore among God's people. Nothing is sacred to them any longer. It's got to be just like the world. It's got to be sung like the world. And we're going to talk about that the next hour, really. But that's how it has to be. But it has that Antichrist worship. This music was what? Geared towards what? Worship of what? The Antichrist. The image. The beast. That was the worship. Called and commanded by a man. Same thing with this CCM, really. Same spirit. Same Antichrist spirit. They lift up the performer, just like the world. They can't settle for the narrow, can they? Not the narrow way, right? Not the narrow way. We can't handle the narrow way. No, it's got to be the broad road that leads to destruction, right? Not the narrow way. But wasn't this religious? They were all religious here, weren't they? They were all bowing down and worshiping an image. And the music was used to hypnotize the masses and lull them in the worship of Antichrist. Same principles. Because I'm going to tell you, the God of CCM is not Jesus Christ. It is Antichrist. That
boy, that guy was something. Mean old guy there. Anyway, but that gives you the idea. Go listen to that sermon, The God of CCM is the Antichrist. And it was a barn burner for sure. But anyway, yeah. So it'll definitely give you something to think about. Lots of good ones on there. So anyway, that series there. Also, the series on rock music. Let's see. Yep, it's called The Satanic Roots of Rock Music. 1, 2, 3, 4. Somebody asked me, what will you do if a guy like that showed up in your church? What do you mean by that, Bill? I'm not sure I understand what you mean. What would I do if a guy like that showed up? A guy like what? You'd have to explain to me what you mean by that. If a guy like that showed up. Showed up for what exactly? Give me an idea what you mean by that. Oh yeah, I don't have a problem with that preaching. I'm just laughing about it, that's all. If a guy with dyed hair and a rock star's t-shirt showed up for church, I'd shake his hand and say, how you doing? That's what I would do. And I'd preach the same way I always do. There wouldn't be anything else to do. I'd preach the same way I always preach.
right? That's what I would do. I would preach the Word of God, just like I always preach the Bible, and go from there. I wouldn't do anything different than I always do. I do the same thing I always do. I don't pick on people if they came here and they were different. Now, if a couple sodomites walked in here and they were, and they acted like they were going to sit here in front of our church and do and act like that, I would tell them they needed to leave. You know, but that's a different story. What about girls who dressed immodestly, like short shorts, if they showed up in your church? Well, if they had short shorts on and it was defiling and their flesh was showing, I might ask him to leave. Mm-hmm. Because I have young men here and I have young children here. So I might ask him to leave. Because, see, there's an order to the house of God. It's not preaching the gospel out in the street. The church is meant for the saved, not the lost. So I would probably not have them stay if it was in such a way that was showing them to be naked. That's what I would do. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what I would do. Yeah, I'm not sure what his point is on his questions, but I don't mind him. It's fine. I just don't know what his point is. But that's okay. He can ask whatever he wants. Within reason, of course. But anyway, so yeah, I'm looking at doing more charismatic videos. You know, I don't have anything planned as of right now. When going to public places like grocery stores, how do you and children handle people who dress immodestly? When going to public places like grocery stores, how do you and the children handle? Well, I mean, I don't go to grocery stores to like people watch or anything. So my children understand the difference in modesty and the difference in people that aren't dressed correctly. If that's what you're asking me. I teach on modesty. I have an entire series on it. If you want to see it, I can show you. Here's one. The naked truth, the biblical definition of naked. There's that one. Biblical modesty series. The origin and language of clothing. Should Christian women wear pants? Biblical guidelines for modest clothing. What should I wear? Q&A objections, answers refuted. So, yeah. I have a whole series on it. And we teach it. But we teach it here, and I teach my children what's right and wrong. So they understand that. And they also understand they're going to see people that are not right. They're going to see people that are wrong.
So anyway, but that's let's see. That's good. Okay, there we go. Okay, somebody asked me, do you believe knee-length skirts, dresses, shorts, or modest? I don't believe shorts are modest because of the cut that they have for women to wear. So, no, I don't believe that they're modest for women to wear. I don't believe that's modest. According to the same rules that I would have for other things that I see as far as modesty goes. What will you do if some crazy dude in a car showed up and played loud music outside the church and people coming in and out are hearing this? I wouldn't do anything about it. It's life. What am I supposed to do? If he's outside playing loud music, he's going to break a noise ordinance and the police are going to be called on him because you're not allowed to play loud music in public. Somebody asked, Kayla asked, Pastor, do you think it's possible for someone to be born again Christian and have no care about lost people's souls or acting kind and charitable? I see much railing these days and no humility. Yeah, it's possible because God works that into people. God works that humility into us the longer we're saved. I believe that. So, yep. Oh, for asking for good. I didn't kick anybody out. I didn't kick anybody out anywhere. You asked me a question. I told you my answer. Could be. K
kicking people out for asking for food. I have no idea what you're even talking about. How does this have anything to do with food? Are you really that bored that you're going to come on here and just like, I don't know. Maybe I'm missing. I guess you're talking to somebody else, whatever. Anyway, I'm not too worried about it.
He waited till another band of shining ones drew nigh. They entered into heaven with a hallelujah cry. He asked again, who are these? Can you tell me whence they came? He seemed to see the answer in a burning tongue of flame. These are the company of martyrs, the mighty fellowship of saints who knew our Lord and walked.
Yeah, we don't kick anybody out because we're not like Steven Anderson. We don't have a heart like that. That guy doesn't believe sodomites can be saved. He doesn't believe in repentance. He doesn't believe a lot of things. And we're not like him. Our doctrine isn't like his. So our church doctrine isn't like his. So that's where we are. We don't treat people like that. So, anyway, no, that's not, we don't practice those things.
Beside him, who ran the holy race and did not faint. Oh, he fell upon his knees and cried, I am not one of these. Children at their play. He saw Rahab, he saw David, Mary Magdalene, and Paul. And the thief who died by Jesus was the one who led them all. Who are these? He almost shouted at the angels.
Well, Teresa, or Lisa asked a question, Pastor, how can I get past this anger for how I can't see my mom and hold her hand while she's dying? Well, I can't pretend to tell you that it's easy. But what I can tell you is that you got to give it over to the Lord. But I'll tell you something right now. I would be fighting that. If you know that your mom is dying, I would tell them, and I would try to get a court order stating that you could go see your mother, that you're being barred from seeing your mom, and I would do whatever I could to see my mom. That's what I would do. I would do whatever I could. But as far as the anger goes, the only thing we can do your anger is a result of sorrow in the heart. Okay? That is sorrow built up in the heart. Because your heart is grieved. And when grief gets inside of your heart like that, when grief gets inside of your heart like that, it turns into anger. It can come out more than one way. You're going to have to spend a lot of time in prayer. And trusting the Lord. That God knows what's best. And praying to the end that God would put this down so you could go see her. And not giving up hope on that either. But I would be fighting that legally. Because if your mother is dying, I would be fighting that legally. That there's no, you're no more of a danger to her than the nurses and the other people that are around her. So I would do, we have to let all anger, wrath, and malice be put away from us. It says here in Colossians 3:18, but now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice. Right? That's right. That's what I was going to say. It's not a sin to be angry about this. You're not wrong for being angry. I was going to say the same thing. You just can't let it consume you. And let the sun go down upon your wrath. But it's not a sin for you to be angry with this. It's not wrong to be angry at evil is not a sin. We just can't let it consume us so that we lose our testimony and do not walk scripturally. You know, we still have to keep our testimonies as children of God. We still have to obey the Lord. So, we still have to keep a good Christian testimony through it. But there's nothing wrong with being angry about this. You just can't get hateful. You know, hateful anger and bitterness. And wrath. You know, you have to watch that. But you need to cry. You need to cry a lot. But I would be fighting this. I wouldn't just lay over for this. I'd be fighting this all the way. I wouldn't let them get away with that. That's what I would do. See, you have to take that energy that you have, that you use for, and use it for prayer. And use it for the Lord, but also you need to take that energy and put it forward with fighting it. Because you can't just let them get away with it without a fight. There's got to be a fight there. That's right, be angry and sin not. There's nothing wrong with being angry as long as it doesn't consume you and you lose your testimony. But they need to understand that they can't get away with this. And there's a lot of people that are angry right now. We have a right to be angry when it comes to these things that they're doing. So we'll all pray for you that the Lord would move in your behalf. I've seen God answer prayer quickly. And he is well able to make a way for you when it comes to these things. I'm sorry you're going through it. I know it's heartbreaking. And it's heartbreaking for your mother. And it's not right either. So, absolutely. God is preparing us to hate this old wicked world. That's right. But all I can tell you is that the best thing you can do is to stand up for what's right. You have to do what's right no matter what, so you have to fight this thing. Just, you know, this is a perfect example of this. Let's talk about this for a second, because this is that medical mafia that she's dealing with. A bunch of doctors telling her that she can't see her dying mother. You see that? That is the epitome of what we're talking about here. That's the absolute example of what we're talking about here today, of an absolute medical mafia that has taken over, that has the force of a gun behind it to tell people that you can't. Because anytime you take the government and you put it against people, then what you make a law, you are saying we are going to defend this by the force of a gun. And that's what they've done. So they've taken this, and they're telling this woman, well, you can't see your 91-year-old mother. Right? That's what they're doing. That's medical mafia. That's a bunch of thugs. Which, by the way, 90% of the people that have died in Minnesota are in long-term care facilities. They are older people. The average age is 85 years old of people that have died from COVID-19 in Minnesota. So they're not doing a very good job if they're the ones that are supposed to be keeping people safe. The medical mafia is messing it all up. They're a bunch of illegal mobsters is what they are. It's exactly what they are. Bunch of mobsters. Bunch of thugs. Making rules for people that they don't follow themselves and using the force of a gun to back them up. Using the force of the government's sword to back it up. Hey, yeah, that's right. Happy birthday, Brother Darryl. Hope you're doing well. I don't know how old you are. You're probably older than me, though. But happy birthday, brother. Take care of yourself. I heard you're going to be eating some apple pie. Better behave yourself up there in Michigan. Don't eat too much apple pie either. But eat a piece for me. All right, everybody. Oh, he's 53. He's definitely 10 years older than me. I'm 43. All right, everybody. Well, God bless you all. I'm going to take off here. You pray for Lisa. Remember her in your prayers. Pray that God would make a way. Pray very specifically. All right? God bless you all. Take care. Have a good night.